Gospel of John chapter 21. This will be the last message from the Gospel of John. It's actually the very last event recorded in the Gospels. And it's an amazing story. John chapter 21. Christ has been denied by Peter three times in that garden the night before he was crucified. The third time when Peter denied him, just as Jesus said, the cock crowed, and Jesus looked over at Peter, and Peter went out. He ran off and he wept, and that was the last time he saw the Lord before he was crucified. And then after the resurrection, there were a couple of appearances, but they seem to have been rather brief. We don't have records of a lot of conversation. And then the Lord had told the disciples that they were going to meet him again in Galilee. And that's where they are now. They're back up in Galilee. It's north of Jerusalem. It's a couple of days' journey by foot, about less than half a day by car nowadays. And they're up in the Sea of Galilee. And, of course, Peter had said, I'm going to go fishing. And the seven disciples went fishing. And now they saw the Lord on the shore, and I'm encouraged to think about this. Peter, when he saw the Lord, he was not afraid, not ashamed. He put his coat on and jumped in the water and swam to the shore to be with Jesus. That's good. But there was still a question of something that needed to be taken care of. I want to ask you to think about this with me for a moment. How is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ right now? If you stood before him, if you were to, like Peter, he climbed up out of the water and he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, would there be something that needed to be dealt with? And I want you to know something. If the answer to that question is, yes, Pastor, there are some things between me and God that aren't right, I want you to know the Lord is willing to forgive you. He wants to make things right. If you're not right with him, it's not because of him, it's because of you. He wants to make things right with us. And that's what we see here is a restoration of Peter in John chapter 21. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 15, and I'm going to read all along down to about verse 19 or so, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Stand with me for the reading of God's word, if you would please, as we read John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He, this Jesus, saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, Follow me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning we need your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to hear what's here in this passage and to apply it appropriately to our own lives, to understand the importance of some of the things that you did towards Peter to make things right, and then to understand some things that you might want to do towards us to make things right so that we can serve you. Lord, I pray this morning for each one here that you would bless them for being here. Be a blessing to them through the word of God. And I pray that when the invitation time comes, that folks would make a proper decision according to your will. Lord, give us strength. Give us spiritual discernment, we pray. Give us guidance. Give us hope, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Conversation. Doesn't it feel good after you finish the meal? You're relaxed. There's not any pressure unless you've got 300 dirty dishes. That's a different story. The Lord prepared the meal this day. It must have been a good meal. Wouldn't you like to eat what the Lord cooked for you? Fish and bread on the fire. And now the Lord Jesus Christ starts a conversation with Peter that is very, very important. Think of this. Not too many weeks after this, about 7 weeks later, Peter's going to preach a message and thousands of people are going to get saved. Aren't you glad the Lord got things right with Peter? Ultimately, Peter wound up being the head of that church there in Jerusalem for a while. And then we see him through the first half of the book of Acts do all sorts of things. He's thrown in jail and he's released. God did great things with Peter. This is not just a Sunday school question, but wouldn't you agree with me? Don't you think God has something he wants to do with you and I? Don't you think God wants to do something with you and I? That the reason we're still alive, that the reason we're here, is because God's got something he'd like to do with us. Amen? I hope that doesn't scare you. So, oh no, Pastor, what if the Lord asked me to do something hard? The Bible says he won't let you be tempted above which you're able. The Bible also says that when we're weak, he's strong. Let me say that differently. Wouldn't you like for the Lord to do something with you? Amen? What if you led a soul to Christ and somebody, because you were willing to tell them about the Lord, because you were willing to live for God instead of living for yourself, what if somebody, instead of going to hell, went to heaven? Wouldn't that be worth it? Y'all are sure quiet today. Maybe God would let you see five people get saved. But let's just say one. You know, if you lived your whole life and led one soul to the Lord, that'd be a great thing. And there are a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. I don't think any of us really believe, I don't think you believe that God meant for you and I to spend our time on this earth and not make a difference in anybody else's life. Just living for ourselves and enjoying things. And I don't think anybody here really believes that's God's will for our life. I think we all have to admit God wants to do something with us. God had big plans for Peter, and he had to get Peter from where he was, having rejected Christ, to where he would be submitted to Christ and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens in this passage. Look at the story. It's really exciting to see. They finish dinner. They're relaxed, perhaps. Their appetites have been satisfied. Now it's just time to talk. And Jesus begins the conversation. He says, Simon, verse 15, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, lots of people have asked the question, what does he mean, these? And I think he's talking about that bunch of fish they caught, because I kind of suspect that there was a whole lot of fish out there. And remember, Simon had said, I'm going fishing. And they caught a bunch of fish and they pulled them to the shore and they stopped and they ate the fish that the Lord had prepared. It just kind of makes sense to me that the Lord would say, do you love me more than you love catching fish? Now, for a professional fisherman who knew what he was doing and had made a living at it, that might have been an interesting question. I could ask it this way. It's kind of a hard thing to say, but do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love money? If you had to choose between the two, which would you choose? And the beginning of being right with the Lord Jesus Christ is loving him. Amen? We ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what he's done for us. Think of how much he loves us. Think of the tremendous sacrifice he made so that we could be saved. And I have to stop and remind myself, I didn't deserve that. I was on my way to hell and I should have gone there. And he died to pay for my sins. And he loved me so much. I was excited. We watched a little bit of football this weekend. There are still some people that get down there in the end zone and up in the stands. And when they get ready to kick the field goal, somebody held up a sign, John 3:16. They're still doing that. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to see that. I'm glad somebody still realizes this is a chance to get maybe one more person to hear the gospel. You all know John 3:16, don't you? For God so loved the world. And then it goes on to talk about how he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's, folks, that's you and I. When you step into heaven and you realize you're there because of Jesus, it'll be easy to love him then. But when you sang those first two songs today about how when Jesus came into my heart and he lives, I know he lives because he lives in my heart. Folks, if you're saved, he's there now. Do you love him? Do you love him more than some other things that might take you away from him? Now, Peter's biggest problem was not a question of fish versus Jesus. And look at the answers. In fact, we'll just dig through this a little bit here in verse 15. His answer, he saith unto him in verse 15 at the end of the verse, he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So Peter's answer is, yes, I love you. And so the Lord says, feed my lambs. One question that Peter had to answer was, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love some other things? More than you love these fish, more than you love money, more than you love going out there and accomplishing, gaining monetary value. Do you love me more than you love that? And then another question that had to be answered was, do you love me enough to do what I ask you to do? Now, every one of us, again, God, I know God wants to use you to do some things. You may never be a missionary to a foreign land and start a church. You may never be an evangelist and like Brother Joe Mark and preach in hundreds of churches and see people saved like that. You may never even be a Sunday school teacher, but every one of us can give the gospel to somebody. Every one of us can serve the Lord. Now, what does he mean when he says, feed my lambs? First of all, he's not talking about literal sheep. In fact, it's explained a little bit elsewhere in the Bible. He's talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And how is Peter going to feed them? Somebody came to me recently and was interested in a ministry of giving people food. And I understand that sometimes there are people that need food, and it's good to be able to give it to them. We had somebody come by today and ask for food. And that's one thing, but that's not the kind of food Jesus is talking about here. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. This is the food God's talking about. The sheep are the nation of Israel. And what Jesus is telling Peter to do is take the word of God, take the gospel to the Israelites. Then, in verse 16, he says it again. He saith unto him a second time. And then, in verse 17, he did it again. He saith unto him a third time. Now, one of the questions that people ask is, why three times? The popular opinion is that perhaps that's because Peter rejected the Lord three times. If somebody tells you something once, and they turn right around and tell you again, they turn right around and tell you again, seems to me like by now you're pretty sure they're serious about this, don't you? Aren't you? Maybe after just once, there might be some questions. After twice, maybe a little fewer questions. But after three times, there shouldn't be much question. Each time, look at verse 15 at the end of the verse, Jesus says, feed my lambs. At the end of verse 16, feed my sheep. At the end of verse 17, feed my sheep. I'm interested in the fact that every single time he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know I love you. And then Jesus says, then feed my sheep. Listen to me. This is simple. If we love the Lord, we'll do what he asks us to do. Amen? I was telling the Sunday school class today, and I think it's important for us to remember this. We come to church because we want to honor the Lord. The Bible says if we're going to worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. We need to have true doctrine and the true Bible and the right Bible and the right teaching. And if we're going to worship, we don't come to church. We don't come to church because of one another. It does help one another when we're here, but we come to church for the Lord. And folks, we got to live our life for the Lord as well. The question that was going to satisfy Peter's rejection and bring him back to where he needed to be is, do you love me more than these? What are you going to choose, me or this? And then secondly, do you love me enough that you'll do what I ask you to do? It's all through the Bible, folks. The Lord says over and over, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I realize our minds jump to that time when we were disobedient. And I understand we are flesh and flesh is weak and we succumb to temptation sometime when we should not. But folks, if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to be directed towards him. There's going to be a different life, isn't there? And as we sang that song, when Jesus came into my heart, when the Lord lives in your heart, it gives you a different direction, doesn't it? So he had to choose between fishing and Jesus, and now he's got to choose between obeying and serving. There's a third thing here, and we'll begin to look at that in verse 18, and it's kind of fascinating when you put it all together. He says in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and that just means he prepared himself, and walked whither thou wouldest. You went where you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now, it's a lot of big words and kind of confusing a little bit. You can get the gist of it, that there's going to be a time when Peter's going to have to be doing something he doesn't want to do. And isn't it great when the Lord just tells you what it means? So here we are in verse 19. Here's what that means. It says, this spake he, signifying or explaining by what death he should glorify God. And let's just think about that for a minute. Why didn't Peter want to admit when he was there in that garden where they were trying the Lord Jesus Christ the night before Jesus was crucified, and the girl says, aren't you one of his disciples? And he says, no. What was he trying to avoid? What was he afraid of? Perhaps ridicule? Perhaps worse? Perhaps that someone might go after him because he was one of the disciples, that they might get him up there and do the same thing to him they were doing to Jesus, and he was trying to protect himself. Now, this is interesting because what the Lord Jesus Christ tells him is, there was a day when you chose where to go and what to do, but there's going to be a day in the future where you're going to be taken to a place you don't want to go, and you're going to die in a way you don't want to die. And here's what's interesting. That's going to bring glory to God. We might not think about that, put those together a whole lot. We want to glorify God. We're not looking for a martyr's death. But folks, God's telling Peter, the very thing that you used to be afraid of, that kept you from standing up and saying, I'm a disciple, is the very thing that you're going to go and endure so you can bring glory to me. And we don't know from the Bible, but tradition tells us that Peter was crucified and that he was crucified upside down. And we don't know. We just simply hear that from tradition. But it's safe to say that he died a martyr's death. And I know this. It glorified God that he was willing to do so. Now put that together. You and I, what we are willing to endure, please hear this. What we are willing to endure for God brings glory to Him. And what we are not willing to endure for Him, what we shy away from or what we run from or when we reject Him, that brings just the opposite. That brings shame. If you love the Lord, remember this, He loves you more than you can possibly understand. And I have no doubt in my mind, I'm thoroughly convinced that the worst things that we have to go through in this life, the worst things that we have to endure because of our faith in Him, in fact, Paul pretty much said it this way, they're going to be nothing in comparison to what we're going to have in eternity. And the rewards that we're going to be able to cast at His feet and the love that we can show for Him by what we endure. Folks, God may ask you to go through a difficult thing, but it's not a pointless thing. You probably won't go through what Job went through, but even in Job's case, where Job lost his family and he lost his health and he lost his property and his wife turned on him and his friends turned on him and he had nothing at all to live for and he asked God to kill him on numerous occasions, even something that horrible, God can use it to bring glory to Himself. And I know good and well, when you see Job in heaven and you sit down and talk to him someday, if you were to ask him, you're going to know by then, but if you were to ask him, Job, are you glad? Was it worth it? Was God fair with you? Job's going to say it was worth it. God did what was right. You're suffering. You're doing without something. You're disappointed about something. There's some problem in your life or some trial. You've been rejected by some people. You've got some heartaches or whatever. If you're living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, all those things bring glory to Him and it makes it worthwhile. Amen? Now you see what's happening here? Peter has been asked, would you rather serve me or go fishing? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me enough to set your plans aside and feed my lambs? And then when Peter says, yes, 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 Jesus says, well, then you're going to one day glorify me in the way you die. Now, those three things right there are enough, but there's just a little bit more to John. I want to look at this last piece and then we'll be done. In verse 20, an interesting thing happens. We do this sometime, by the way. Watch what happens in verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth, it's John is who he's talking about here, the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. And let's just hold that thought and look at the last two words in verse 19. Jesus says, follow me. Folks, that's the whole message right there. If you love the Lord, what should you do? Follow Him. Amen? This will go a lot quicker if you say amen a couple of times, all right? Jesus says, if you love me, follow me. Jesus says, if you love me, feed my lambs. Follow me. And then John is following, and Peter looks over and sees John, and he makes a mistake that we make sometimes. We take our eyes off the Lord and look at somebody else. You ever do that? You take your eyes off the Lord, and you look at somebody that was mean to you or unkind to you. Or you take your eyes off the Lord, and you look at somebody, and you think, well, why doesn't God do that in my life? Why is God doing this with them, and He's not doing that with me? Or you take your eyes off the Lord, and you look at somebody, and you say, well, why aren't they faithful? Why don't they serve God? Folks, don't take your eyes off the Lord. Peter should have learned that when he was walking on the water, remember? He's walking on the water, and he's watching Jesus, and he's doing just fine. And then he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And it's here again. Don't look at the other person. Just keep looking at the Lord. Look what happens here. We're almost done. In verse 20, Peter seeth the disciple, John, which leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That was the question that was asked at supper. So in verse 21, Peter seeth him and he saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Have you heard somebody said to you, you know, I got enough problems of my own. I don't need anybody else's problems. I got enough to deal with. Everything I have to deal with is enough to keep me busy full time. I don't have to get into your business. And I got enough of my own to deal with. Folks, don't look around and see what someone else is going to do. Just do what God asks you to do. See, this gets us in a lot of trouble. Because I've seen this, especially in new Christians. We look over at some other Christian, and they're not serving God. They're not faithful to church. They don't go soul winning. They don't whatever. And we ask ourselves, well, how come they get to be that way? Now, look what Jesus says to him. Peter saith unto him, or Peter seeing him says, Lord, what shall this man do? He's looking at John. What about him? What are you going to do with him? What's his role? And look at verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, this is an interesting phrase. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, if I decide to have John live until I come back, and that would have been a couple of thousand years, what does that matter to you, Peter? Just follow me. I would just ask the question. The Lord brings this to my mind, I trust. Are you willing to follow him? Let me ask you again. Are you willing to follow him? What if somebody else doesn't follow him? Are you willing to follow him? What if somebody else follows him better? What if somebody else gets more recognition? What if somebody else has more accomplishments? What if somebody else has more success? What is that to you, Jesus says? Just follow me. I just want to tell you what a great day it would be if we would all walk out these doors here in about 10 minutes and say, I'm going to follow the Lord. It doesn't matter if someone else follows or not. I'm going to follow the Lord. It doesn't matter if somebody else goes soul winning. It doesn't matter if somebody else comes to church. It doesn't matter if somebody else. I'm going to follow the Lord. Folks, that's what a good Christian life's all about. That's where Jesus needed to get Peter from that place where Peter said, I'm going fishing. Well, Peter, do you love the fish more than me? No, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. Now, follow me. That's interesting because Peter had already one time chosen to follow the Lord. That was back when he was first called to be a disciple. But now, again, the question is, are you going to follow me? And if so, don't worry about what somebody else says. Now, look at verse 23. This is kind of interesting. We're just going to tie up some loose ends here. So then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Isn't it funny how people take what the Lord said and make it mean something different? For example, here he says to Peter, what does it matter to you, Jesus says, if I choose to have this man live until I return? What is that to you? Follow me. And people take that saying, and now they said, oh, John's not going to die. Is that what Jesus said? No. And that's the kind of trouble you get into when you start looking at other men instead of looking at the Lord. But just remember this, the Bible's plain about what it says, and it means what it says. So that confusion was unnecessary. So in verse 24 and verse 25, we have a little postscript from John, a little comment from John. In verse 24, this is the disciple, that's John, which testifieth of these things. In other words, I'm the one writing this book and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And John kind of wraps the whole thing up there, and he says, yeah, I was there. And I wrote those things down. I wonder, of course, John later on wrote the Revelation. That was pretty impressive. We'll enjoy that sometime. But I wonder, John just chose to be faithful. And he wrote the Gospel of John. And I don't know if he would have even thought such a thing was possible, but on Saturday, and I think Thursday as well, somebody at a football game held up a poster, John 3:16. Aren't you glad John was faithful? Somebody here today probably got saved because you heard John 3:16. Certainly got saved by that principle that's in John 3:16. I don't know what God's going to do with you. I know what he did with John. I know what he did with Peter. Peter went ahead and wrote two great, great books in the New Testament. Peter preached and saw thousands of souls get saved. We don't have a whole lot of information about John's preaching, but we do hear a lot in history about John. We can talk about that some other time. But the question really is, again, not what did God do with Peter, what did God do with John? The question is this: what does God want to do with you and I? Do you think God's wanting to do something with you? I do. You think he's finished with you? I don't. You think he wants to be right with you like he wanted to be right with Peter? I'm sure of it. He sought Peter out. He spoke with Peter and he gave him some choices. Peter, do you want to love these fish or do you want to love me? Do you want to serve yourself or do you want to serve my sheep? Do you want to follow the world or do you want to follow me? And he comes to us with those same questions. And folks, I understand we are insufficient. In and of ourselves, we don't have the strength. We don't have what we need. God's got to do a work in our heart. But don't let that be an excuse to live a life that doesn't follow God. He's got something for us to do. And there are some people that will escape hell and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ if we will let God use us. So folks, follow the Lord. Amen? Don't worry about what someone else is going to do or what they've done or what happens with them. Just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got something for you. I know he does. And however many years of life you've got left, if the Lord tarries and we live our full life and we have decades to go perhaps, or even just years to go, or even just months to go, if we'll follow the Lord, he can use us. And folks, it'll make a difference in this world. It'll make a difference in eternity. And the real question is, if you love him, then you will follow him. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.